Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise and honor because you deserve it. Father God, I pray that this morning, oh God, your spirit will quicken our hearts to really understand the reason why we come here. Help us, oh God, to focus on you and your move of the spirit. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. I pray, oh God, that you speak to our hearts today, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Daniel, aka Wendy's wife, or Wendy's husband. I don't know my position anymore. But if you are visiting with us, we are doing a series of called Kingdom Living. And today, we are going to talk about an aspect of kingdom living. I think sometimes people born in this country don't really understand the meaning of living in a kingdom. Living in a kingdom is not democracy. You understand that? Yeah, there is no democracy. Let's vote. Do you want to go to the meeting? Yes. Raise up your hand. None of that. It is the king's way or no way. So growing up in Ghana, I understand that concept of kingdom living. We have someone called the town crier. He every morning or on the weekends, he will come into the town and has something that makes a lot of noise. And he will ring it and everybody will gather and he will give an announcement that the king wants everybody to hear. For example, they will say, okay, on the first Saturday of the month, we are doing communal labor. That means that everybody, you're supposed to clean your house, take all the garbage out of the neighborhood and make everything clean. Now, God help you if you don't show up. There is no, okay, let's vote who wants to clean their house. Now, when the king says so, you do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, such meetings are very common in kingdoms. Today, the title of our message is Coming to the Filling Station. Family meeting with Jesus. All right, family meeting with Jesus, you know. Now, how many of you have cars? Very nice. If I was preaching this message back home, it would be like two people. But that's cool, you know. you see, one day, Sheridan asked me, what has been your best worship experience? It took me like 2 seconds, and I told him it was during a purity conference. And he looked at me, he was like, why? And I said, okay, I will explain. In my experience, when I go to purity conferences, everybody under that roof, everybody there knows why they are there. There is no pretense. There is no, I just stumbled here. None of that. Everybody knows exactly why they are there. So when we are worshiping, the songs that we sing here, when we sing it there, It's different. When we sing "All to Jesus I Surrender," we all know exactly what we are saying. Not because we are singing it absent-mindedly. We know exactly what we are saying. Look, everywhere you go, you see people crying. People pouring out your heart. Look, when you go to a purity conference and you don't want to have a long conversation, don't ask nobody, how are you? Because you will get the rundown. Like, that is the one place in the kingdom that I've seen everybody in there most vulnerable. It is sad to say, but that is what we are supposed to be every single day. Go to the next slide, please. Now, you know, in my crazy mind, I have analogies for everything. Now, when you go to a filling station, those of you who have cars, you see signs, right, at the filling station. You know, I took a picture for filling stations, right? Now, you look closer, you see certain signs. Now, all these signs, I have meanings for them, but, you know, because of time, I won't go through everything. I'll just take one or two. Now, you see the no cell phone sign over there? It means that when you get to the filling station, you shouldn't use your cell phone. Why? Because it can cause fire, right? And you are around very highly flammable stuff. That, in my mind, means that when you come to the filling station, you need to focus. Right? I'll come back to that. The yellow one on the top in the triangle with the fire says highly flammable. What does the Bible say God is? Our God is a consuming fire. Remember that? Uh-huh. Okay, cool. And there's the last one at the bottom over there. It's a guy getting off his motorcycle. That one was interesting. Meaning, when you go to the filling station and you're filling up your motorcycle, the gas in the motorcycle, you need to get off the bike. Now, in my head, it means that when I come... Okay, I'll go there. When I come into the filling station, I need to get off what I'm controlling. I need to take the controls off and get off if I want my gas to be filled. Right? Just keep these images in your mind. Next slide. See, when you go to a very good filling station, there are provisions, you know, and stuff like that. You know, you go there, you are hungry. You know, you go in there, you buy anything you want, right? There's stuff there, you know. All these things have meanings, by the way. I'll get to it in a minute. Go to the next slide. I'm yet to see a filling station that has no price tag. Just come and fill your gas free, you know. But there are prices at every filling station. The interesting thing in my mind is that when we come to this filling station, those prices have been paid by Jesus already. Right? Okay, I'll come back to that. Next slide. You see snacks on the corner over there, and where they do the oil change and all that stuff. All right, cool. Now, so when you come to the filling station and you want your oil change, you want them to check your filters and stuff like that, you know, some air in your tires, that's where you go. You get out of your car, you leave it for them to fix it, and then when they are done, you get back in it and drive off, right? Very good. Next slide. All right. These pictures that I showed you, in my mind, it's a representation of this place. Today I'm going to share with you why I love to come to church. Not the building, but love to be among you guys. This is my filling station. When I come here, I know exactly what I'm looking for. You see, like the filling station, it would be funny for me to show up here knowing that my gas is empty, and I'll be sitting in the car. I'm like, the guy will come to me, hey, what gas do you want, 93 or 81? I'm like, oh, I don't need no gas. My gas is empty, but I'm cool, and then I drive off. Do you see what I'm saying? It does not make sense. For your car to be empty, you drive to a filling station, and then you tell them, don't fill up my gas. Or your car is acting funny, there is a mechanic there to fix it. Like that, oh, don't touch my car. It's none of your business. It's my car. Don't touch it. No oil change. You'll be clunking over, all over the place. Maybe when you're traveling and you're on a long road and you are hungry and the kids are making noise in the back and you stop at the filling station, you want to buy something. You get there, you see all the provisions that you could buy, anything you could get. You walk in there and you walk out. Your kids will be looking at you. You didn't buy anything? You're like, no. I didn't like the colors of the soda. And then you walk out. You see, you guys are laughing because you understand what I'm saying. But the funny thing is, that's what we do spiritually over here. We come in here and we act like everything is okay. We come in here and we act like, nah, don't talk to me. None of your business. Say, Daniel, how are you doing? Says Nania. None of your business. Oh, okay, so then why are you here? This is not a social gathering. Okay, it's not. There is a reason why the scripture says that do not give up meeting with one another whilst you see the day approaching. There is a reason for that. Okay, because all of us have been given gifts that is supposed to be used to serve one another. So if someone comes in here all jacked up and you have that one gift that is supposed to help that person and you don't show up, you are cheating your brothers and sisters of the answers they've been praying for days. All right, so when we come here, first requirement, we need to believe. John 20:29 says, Jesus said to them, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. John 3:16. Everybody knows this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And I wrote down there, belief controls what I do. Now, the English language is awesome. It's a unifying language in my country. I think the English language has been one of the tools that has kept the country of Ghana safe and united. Because though we speak our different languages, we speak English together as a nation, all right? And because of intermarriages, you know, if a fight breaks out, I don't know who I'm fighting for my mom or for my dad or for where I live. You know, it's not going to work. I digressed, by the way. But the word believe in my language means something else. That is very interesting. I'm going to say it in my language. I'm not speaking in tongues or nothing like that. I'll just explain, all right? Okay, cool. In the language where I live, when they say believe, they say it Gidi. Gidi. Okay, I'll explain. In my mom's language, it says Heoye. Now, these two languages are saying exactly the same thing, and I will transliterate it for you to understand. It means take and eat it. The word believe. When I say believe in my language, it means take it and eat it. Now, think about it for a second. Both things are action words. You cannot believe just mentally. In my language, when I say believe, it means do something. Take something and put it in your mouth and eat it. Believe. Do you believe that when we meet here, God himself is present? Do you believe that when we are here, the Spirit of God is very present? Think about that for a second. If God is sitting here amongst us, and the Spirit of God is live here, and Jesus is hanging out here right now, would you be absent-minded if your spiritual eyes were opened and you could see God in person? Would you be fiddling with your phone when you are sitting in the presence of the Almighty God? The person who can just say a word and it be clunk, done, you're dead. We have lost the respect and awe that we need to have when we come into the presence of God because we don't believe. Because if you do believe, it will control what you do. If you believe, you will take it and eat it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Next slide. We need to have faith when we come in here. Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Our faith activates our connection and interaction with God. Now, if you don't have faith, please don't come here. You know why? Because the scripture says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And the scripture also says that everything that has breath has to praise God. So if you can breathe in and breathe out, when you come here and you keep your mouth shut, you are sinning. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you come here, you have to be ready. You have to engage. You have to be present. So present that you'll be looking out for the move of God. Your faith will make you do that. Next slide. Recently, every time we are coming to church, I pray with Wendy and the kids, and I tell them, come to church expecting something to happen. And it has been my thing that I always come here expecting something to happen. Now, something happening could be something very small. A word someone says. A song they sang. A prayer of something. Or someone's facial expression. We have to come here looking for stuff. Hebrews 11:6. We read that already. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Psalm 91:11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Do you know that when we gather like this, God sends angels in this room ready to take messages back to him? Do you believe that? You've been praying for your marriage to change. You've been praying to figure out how to raise your kids. You've been praying to figure out how to overcome a sin that is dogging you. When we meet like this, look, don't get me wrong. When individual prayers work. But when we meet like this and we pray and we worship together, it's like your little prayer on steroids. Like, God moves more powerfully when we are all here like this. Your answers to your prayers might be sitting right beside you. Your answers to your prayers might be in a song that someone will stand here and sing. Your answers to your prayers might be a scripture that has been read. But because you are so absent-minded, the answer will come and it will drop on the floor and you will not even realize that God gave you the answer and you'll walk out of here the same way you came in. When we come here, you need to come with an expectation that God is going to drop a word for you. that someone will say something that will change your life. Someone will say something that will calm the storms in your soul. Someone is going to sing a song that will make you break out into tears. This meeting is special. I don't walk in here thinking I'm in Paul Richmond High School. I walk in here knowing that the very presence of God is right here. And I'm expecting something to happen today. Next slide. Oh, action. You see, our relationship with God is give and take. You understand what I'm saying? We have to participate in that relationship. Just imagine, in my marriage, trying to build a relationship, and all I do is just sit down there and let Wendy do all the work. Some of you sisters in this room will hear about it the very second I start doing that. It is a give and take. God expects you to have a sweat equity in this relationship. Because if you don't give anything, you will not value what you have. Jesus gave up his very life. What are you giving back? 1 Peter 2:1 to 25. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tested that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Put off acting and be real. This is my favorite slide in all the slides I made. Put off acting and be real. What do I mean by that? You see, this is the one place in the whole of Staten Island that you can come and let it all hang out. This is the one place that you can come and when someone asks you, how are you doing, you let it rip. The messier, the better. Look, we need to stop this churchy, nice, wear suit, come to church, do boogie dance. Like, okay, you guys don't dance. Sorry, it's Africans who do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come here all sanctimonious and holy and stuff. Meanwhile, your whole house is in a mess. Your purity is jacked up. Your marriage is, I don't know. You know, you are all over the place. But when someone asks you, how are you doing? I'm fine. Oh, really? If you cannot be real here, are you going to be real at your job? Do you think your boss wants to hear all about your drama at home? Yep. Like, yo, you better start typing. No, you know, what's up? You know, like, yo, go get a therapist or something. Like, really? This is where we come for a tune-up. This is where we come for an oil change. This is where we come for our tires to be inflated so that we can ride and save up on gas. Where is Mariama? Yeah, you know. We cannot come here and put on masks. When Daniel shows up here, you have to see the real Daniel. I cannot come here wearing a Denzel Max. Oh, sorry. I need to, yeah, okay, no. It's just, you know, just, yeah. It's okay. All right, you know, just. But do you understand what I'm saying? The real Daniel needs to show up here. If my day is a mess, oh, I need to let someone know. Because the sad part is, if I don't talk about it, nobody can give me the help I need. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'll keep my mouth shut, walk out of here and be like, oh, nobody cares about me. But I was quiet. I didn't say nothing. In fact, 4 people asked me, how are you doing? I was like, I'm fine. Like, really? When was the last time you walked in here and you just confessed all the junk? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you came here and you just saw someone with a sad face and you just encouraged the daylights out of them? When was the last time you came here and wrote a note for someone you've been thinking about? Do you guys know that everyone in this room, a name pops up in your head throughout the week? Do you know why? God is poking you. That person needs an encouragement. That person needs your prayer. For those of us who can't sleep, you wake up at, you know, like, okay, I have to see my doctor about that. 3 o'clock every single day, I wake up. I don't understand why. The nurses in this room, you have to start diagnosing because I don't get it. I can go to bed at 2 a.m., 3 o'clock, I'll wake up. We need to be very in tune with the Spirit of God. Do me a favor. This week, any name that pops in your head, if you have a cell phone which is meant for calling, call the person. Say, hey, bro, how are you doing? Your name just popped in my mind. Is everything okay? And God help you. If someone gives you a call and you have some issues going on, please don't say, I'm fine. Be open. Look, if God would open our eyes to see how we are doing spiritually in this room, we will see broken legs and bleeding hearts and stuff that it will break your heart. But we walk in here. The one place. Now think about it. The one place that you can be yourself. The one place that people will love you. The one place that someone can encourage you. The one place that someone can give you some good advice. You come here and then you put a padlock on your mouth and you throw the key away. Why? We need to stop playing church. We need to stop doing that. This is a place of healing. This is a place of communication. This is a place where God shows up in his full power and answers your prayers. For all you know, that prayer you've been praying for months, God is just waiting for you to open up your mouth once to the right person in here. And you'll be like, oh man, all this time. Please, we should stop acting. You know, stop acting. You're not being paid for it. You know, you're not being paid for it. Only John gets paid for acting, you know. And he does it on the stage and stuff. You know, stop acting. Be real. Be yourself. You know why we cannot be real? Because we are afraid of judgment. We are afraid. We are people pleasing. Who are you trying to impress? The person you are trying to confess to, he is also jacked up. Two jacked up people pretending they are not jacked up. Like, seriously. I'm jacked up, you are jacked up. Let's put it together and find some help.
Let's be real. You know, our marriages in Staten Island can change if we are open and we get advice and we seek the help. Our relationship with one another will change if we allow people in. Let me tell you something. I've not lived here for long, but listen, you cannot do this on your own. You can't. I'm so glad he mentions that drifting thing. Look, if someone walks away from God, it did not happen the day he walked out here. It is a slow, gradual process that we all go through. Oh, you think I'm lying? You remember the day you woke up and you're like, I don't feel like praying today. Oh, I'll pray later on. And then you forgot. The next day, oh man, this John 3:16 stuff, I know it. Yeah, this quiet time stuff, I'll do it some other day. You know, I don't want to be legalistic. Before you blink, a month has gone, you've not prayed, you've not read your Bible. And then you get into a fight. Yeah, you see, the thing is, we are all hoarders. We hoard stuff. Okay? When you start hoarding your sin and the things you're supposed to do and you're not doing, it piles up. And then instead of preparing yourself for a temptation that is coming a week ahead of time, you show up in front of the temptation and then you have nothing to fight. And then you fall. And then because you have not built a relationship, you are not sure if people really love you. And then you back off. I'm not going to share this because when I share it, everybody will look at me funny and then, you see how it goes? It piles up. Before you blink, you will make excuses that, people don't love anymore like they used to. Nobody calls me. You have a phone too. What happened to your phone? Why didn't you pay your bill? You call somebody too. Nobody calls me. And then when we ask you, bro, why are you walking away? Then they come up with some lame excuse. I don't believe in baptism. Like, really? The Son of God himself got baptized. And then you come in, give some lame excuse. Oh, no. You see, no. There is more under the foundation than you just want to get. No, listen. Let's be open. You see, this filling station that we have is special. Everything you need to live a righteous life can be given to you right here. Right here, even if someone gives you a jacked up advice, there is someone else who can correct that jacked up advice. Don't waste the gift that God has given you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't waste it. Come here with an expectation. Come here believing. Come here having faith that there are angels waiting. Oh, waiting to give you the answers that you've been praying for. But when you walk in here absent-minded, it's like going to a buffet and the food is all served. You can take any food you want and you're sitting down there. I'm not hungry. And then everybody eats and then we walk out. Okay, hey, I'm still hungry. Why am I hungry? Dude, didn't you see the fried rice and chicken wings over there? You know, like, you walk past a whole slew of food you didn't eat and you just walked out. Do me a favor. From today onwards, never ever walk into this place or walk into any gathering of the people of God and not expect anything. Expect something. In fact, there has been a scripture in your mind that is eating you up. Maybe the Holy Spirit just dropped that in there for you to share with someone who will walk up to you and just spill all the beans. And that one scripture will take them and turn them around. Come expecting a lot, in fact, when you walk in here. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and so blessed that you give us a family that represents the very presence of Jesus. I thank you so much that we all don't have the same gift, that we have different gifts, that your scripture says that are supposed to be used to build up the church into maturity. God, I pray that your spirit will activate every single gift in this room, that it will be used to its fullest potential, that every single disciple in this room will benefit from it. I pray, oh God, that those of us who have not really given our lives to you, that, Father, your word will continue to gnaw at our hearts to the time we surrender all to you, oh God. We thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for the power of the Spirit that reminds us of the things that Jesus taught us when he came here. Thank you so much for your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.